Welcome to the Man in the Mirror Bible Study Podcast. Today we are continuing our series, looking at the spiritual disciplines. Next up, a man in small groups. Our speaker is Brett Klemmer, president of Man in the Mirror.
Well, hello guys. It's great to see you. Welcome to the Man in the Mirror Bible Study. It's a great place to be on a Friday morning, as we said every week, and I'm really excited to be with you this morning. We're in this series going through a man's guide to the spiritual disciplines, and when we think about Man in the Mirror, when we think about why do we gather together in a Bible study like this, when we even think about what the goal of having a ministry like Man in the Mirror in general is, we're a ministry that, in fact, Here's our vision is for every man to reflect honestly, pursue God wholeheartedly, and live vibrantly. And the spiritual disciplines are a way to help in all three of those areas. The spiritual disciplines help you reflect on your life, think about who you are. Calvin said, you can't know God unless you know yourself, and you can't know yourself unless you know God. And so the spiritual disciplines help you know yourself and know who God is, and then to pursue Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then to live a vibrant life. I think a lot of times we stop at the pursue God, and we try to accumulate head knowledge, right? We try to learn more Bible verses and learn more theological concepts, but we forget the whole purpose of that is that Jesus said He came to give us an abundant life, a life of joy. And so we want to, as we're talking about spiritual disciplines, we want to make sure that we're doing it not for the purpose of earning merit or acquiring skills or checking a box, right? We're doing it so that we can live a vibrant life in Christ. So we're talking about a man in a small group. And does anybody know what these are? Yeah, they're redwood trees. Redwood trees are fascinating because their root system, no redwood tree's root system is capable of holding up a redwood tree. Did you know that? Their roots don't go deep enough to hold them up, and yet they tower hundreds of feet in the air. And the way that a redwood tree holds itself up is that redwood trees never grow alone. They always grow in groups so that they can interlock their roots. And so as if you have a whole grove of redwood trees, it's like all these roots interlocked, and so they hold each other up. And so as we talk about a man and a small group, that's the idea that we're thinking about, is that no man can really stand alone in the world with the powers and the principalities of darkness standing against us, with the world, the flesh, and the devil standing against us. It's almost impossible for a Christian man to stand alone. You need to have brothers, men that you can interlock your spiritual roots with, so that when you're feeling weak, when you're struggling, when you're facing disappointment, you've got other guys who are holding you up. And then when they're feeling that way and you're feeling good, then you can do the same thing. So when we think about a small group, what we're talking about is really what a small group does is it addresses one of our inner needs. Jeremy spoke a couple weeks ago about the loneliness epidemic. And if you're listening to the podcast and you haven't heard that Mirror Labs report, I'd really encourage you to go back and listen to some of the information that we shared about the loneliness epidemic and about man's need for relationship. We're living in a time when guys are just struggling. There's higher rates of anxiety and depression and suicide and drug use. All of those things happen to men in isolation. But there are two statistics in that. There was a study that we've been looking at, that there were two statistics that really struck me personally, and that is that from 1990 to 2021, the number of men who said that they have at least six close friends reduced by half. You had over 50%, you had 55% of men in 1990 said that they could identify six close friends, and by 2021, only 27% of men could say that. And then the number of men who in 1990 said that they had no close friends was only 3%, but in 2021, it was 15%. So a 5x growth in the number of men who have no friends. And when you look at all the indicators of difficulty that we see in our society, you see a lot that are caused by men. A lot of those guys, what do you always hear? Oh, he kept to himself. He was a loner. He seemed like a nice guy, but nobody really knew him. And to not be known, to not have anybody that really knows you, is a really lonely place to be. We walk around with masks on. We walk around giving each other sort of a picture of what we want our life to be presented as, to what we want people to think of us. And then that just gets exacerbated by things like social media, where all we do is we post the best meal we've ever eaten and the amazing accomplishments of our kids. We never talk about the fights with our wife or the job that we lost or the speeding ticket that we got or whatever. We never talk about that stuff. We only put out there for people the good stuff in our life, the happy stuff in our life. And a small group gives you a place to meet that inner need to be known, to have true and authentic friendships. And men have always looked for this in groups, right? I mean, what are some groups that you guys were involved in? We asked you in the opening, what groups are you involved in? So what kind of groups are you guys involved in? Somebody just yell some stuff out. Rotary Club, excellent. Oh, what's that again? Awana? Chamber of Commerce? Say that again? Yeah, on a board, a nonprofit board, the YMCA board. Knights of Columbus? Yeah, see, so whether it's a Moose Lodge or a fraternity or whatever it is, what was Fred Flintstone in, the Water Buffaloes, right? See, even Hanna-Barbera knows that men like to be in groups. So we think about some guys I've talked to in churches. I'll say, what's the most significant thing you've done in the last 5 or 10 years? I'll say, you know, I was on this disaster response team, or we went to this place after a tornado. And the two things I hear all the time are, it was amazing. It was an amazing experience just to help people in desperate need. And man, the guys I went with, we really bonded. We had a great time together. Shared, men bond shoulder to shoulder in shared experience, Jeff Gorsuch says, where women tend to bond more face-to-face in shared conversation. But guys bond shoulder to shoulder. We're made for this. And when you see a guy that's isolated, you know, they actually use isolation as a diagnostic tool for mental illness. Somebody that's withdrawing, that's isolating themselves, that's a warning sign for everything from schizophrenia to Alzheimer's. People that start withdrawing, it's not good for your health. We have this inner need. And we see this even in Scripture right from the start. Adam's traipsing around the garden all by himself, and God says, you know what? It's not good for a man to be alone. And so I'm going to make a helper for him. And he goes through all the animals first, and apparently they didn't have golden retrievers back then. So I think that might have been enough. But just kidding. And so God made a woman for Adam to be with, the original small group, Adam and Eve, right? And then in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. That's in Hebrews chapter 10. And so that brings us to our next point, that we need to have a commitment to fellowship. We should all try, we should all try to find fellowship. Why should we be committed to fellowship? Because biblical fellowship is mutually beneficial to those who participate. One purpose of brothers getting together is to exhort one another. Pat says, sometimes you need a hug and sometimes you need what? A kick in the pants. You've heard him say that enough. But you do. Sometimes you need a hug and sometimes you need a kick in the pants. But I don't know about you, but only a brother can kick me in the pants. Like, not somebody I don't know. And if somebody I don't know, I really don't appreciate the kick in the pants. But from a brother, yes. And you see this in Proverbs 27, 5 and 6. The writer says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. You need brothers that will look you in the eye and tell you when something's wrong. And we can look back at Hebrews and we can see that same truth when he said, stir one another up to love and good works. and encourage one another. This is what we're supposed to do. And so if you look at that verse, at that Hebrews verse, stir up one another, encourage one another, what you see is you see this interesting Greek word, and you're going like, oh, great, we have to learn Greek again. You don't have to learn Greek, but this is the word in Scripture. We use the phrase one another, but the word is not one word. It's not two words. It's one word. Allelon is how you pronounce it. Now you've learned, everybody say allelon. You all know Greek. And how many times do you think this one another word is used in the New Testament? Anybody want to guess?
Amen.
Who said 100? 100 times. 100 times. The New Testament, yeah, he's a CPA. Yeah, 100 times. You think that might mean that it's an important concept in Scripture. And Paul himself uses it 60% of that. 60 times is by Paul alone. And so if you go through the one another verses, now I'm not going to go through the all 100. You're welcome. I'm not going to go through all 100, but just think about some of the ways that this word is used. It said, you know, stir up one another to good deeds, encourage one another, exhort one another. That's the kick in the seat of the pants. The hug is the encourage, and the exhort is kick in the seat of the pants. Confess your sins to one another. Be devoted to one another. Serve one another. Bear each other's burdens. And love one another is the most obvious, sort of all-encompassing. It even says, I found it, in fact, it's very interesting. You kind of wonder what was going on in the church back then, because several times it's used with tolerate. Tolerate one another. It's like, I'd really like you to love one another, but if you can't do that, at least tolerate one another, right? And as men, we know that sometimes that's the best we can do, is to tolerate one another. And so you probably all have stories of how a brother has come alongside you and been this for you. He's been that other in the one another. And for me, that's been true my whole life, is that I've always had guys around me that have fed into my life. And some of those guys have not been believers, and the stuff they fed into my life was sometimes not that great, right? Because they had different values, different morals, different life purpose than I did. But when I'm around guys that believe the same thing that I do, that want the same thing that I do, they want to build the kingdom, they want to bring glory to God, they want to be in intentional spiritual friendships, they want to be authentic disciples of Jesus Christ. Those are the guys that I want to be around. The guys whose lives I want to imitate, those are the guys that you want to be around. And the small group is a way to do that. I'm in a small group right now with three guys in my church, me and two other guys in my church. And we, while we're the elders of our church, we also operate as a small group. We share things with one another. We encourage one another. We do a fair amount of exhorting one another when we need it. We're tough enough to take it. And so that's been made a tremendous difference in my life. Now, and even more than 20 years ago, when I came to Man in the Mirror, it was a small group that pulled me out of a spiral of financial and career difficulty, and which led to marriage difficulty. And because I was in this group with these guys who could be honest and straightforward and held me accountable, that changed everything in my life. And I remember the day that I told my wife I was just too tired to go to my men's group. And she said, no, you're not. That's when you need those guys the most, is when you feel like that. So go. And so even our wives understand the power of a small group in a man's life. So if we've got this inner need for fellowship and for connection and community, and we have a commitment then to that fellowship, how do we pursue being in a small group? For a small group to work, the relationships have to be authentic, right? The relationships have to be authentic. You can't just have, you know, either guys who don't really care that much. It's just something to do. I don't want to offend anybody, but you know, I love the groups of guys that get together on every Thursday morning at Panera, and you see a bunch of like, I don't want to offend anybody, but they always have gray hair. it's always like 9 o'clock in the morning, so they don't have anything else to do. And they're hanging out at Panera. And like, they all know each other and they're all, you know, hey, Joe, hey, Frank, hey, Bob. You know, they all also all have boomer names and one syllable names. And that's great. That's fantastic. I've never heard of one of those. And I'm not saying there aren't exceptions, but that's typically a social group. Those guys are hanging out to drink coffee and eat a bagel and complain about the front page of the newspaper, right? And they all still read newspapers, right? So that's fine. That's a good, but that's a social club, you know. That's not a small group. Those aren't deep, authentic relationships where a guy might come in and say, you know, here's this heavy thing that's going on in my life. You need a group of guys that you can pursue to have a place where you can actually share the hard things. Because the fact is, as a Christian man, one of the things that we want to do is we want to grow in our faith. And so here's our big idea, that most meaningful change happens in the context of relationships. Most meaningful change happens in the context of relationships. So you guys sitting in this room right now, you are, I don't know if you realize this, but you are in a small group. You have to decide how personal, how authentic that small group, those small group relationships are going to be. Because you could just show up here for an hour a week, listen to somebody teach, you know, go through some questions real quick, and then leave and not think about each other for 167 hours, and then show up here again next Friday and do it all over again. And that's fine. That's meeting a need in your life. But if you want to go deeper than that, stuff has to happen outside of this group. And if you're listening to this podcast, or you're sitting here as a visitor, or you're really recognizing that you don't really have a small group, let's talk about a couple different ways that you can pursue a small group. So I'm going to give you three ideas. The first one is just get into or start a small group. Find a group of guys to surround yourself with who will speak truth to you. You might feel like you don't fit in, but the truth is that most of us walk around feeling like we don't fit in. So just find a couple other guys that you have something in common with, a common hobby, a common interest. Maybe it's just something as simple as availability at the same time, and start meeting intentionally just to talk about life. Spend time together, right? Because it's in that time that you build relationship. And our big idea, most meaningful change happens in the context of relationships. So that's sort of a general idea of a small group. Secondly, you can get into a small group Bible study. Now that's what this is. We're a small group Bible study. We meet to try and study the Bible together. And so we try to teach the Bible and we try to talk about the Bible. And a lot of you go out at 8 o'clock. You might go out and grab breakfast with each other as a group. That's fantastic. Or you should be talking during the week. You know, I mean, I hope every group has a text thread that all the guys at your table are on. If you don't, maybe do that today before you leave. But you need to have these guys that are studying the Bible together, you're discussing the Bible together, and that's how you build relationships centered on Scripture. And then finally, get involved with people in your church. Get involved with people in your church. The Christian life is not meant to be lived alone. You need to be in a church. Let me say that again. You need to be in a church, guys. You need to have that community. You need to have a place where you go that annoys you sometimes because people do stuff that you don't like. Because if all you ever do is surround yourself with people that think like you and talk like you and act like you and read what you read and are in the same generation as you, you're not growing. You're solidifying. You're just getting stuck in that place. And one of the greatest things about his church is that there's people there that you don't necessarily like, that you don't necessarily get along with. And that's a great place to be, because that's how God stretches us and grows us. You know, in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul uses the analogy of a body. And he said, you know, one of you is a hand and one of you is a foot and one of you is an ear and one of you is an eye. And if the eye were to say, I don't want to be an eye anymore, I want to be an ear, well, eyes can't hear and ears can't see. And it's just like that in the body, that each one of us brings our own unique skills and talents to the table. We bring our perspectives. And so when you collect those different perspectives, those different skills, those different experiences together, that's when you have the ability to really find real community and affect real change in your life. So get involved in a church, find a Sunday school class, find a couple's small group, get on a serving team, but just get involved and start loving other people, especially people that are challenging to love. It will be good for your soul and it will change your life. All right. So again, the big idea, most meaningful change happens in the context of relationships. So I wanted to give you a little object lesson, a little visual of what this looks like. So I need four guys to come up here. Four guys, come on. Great. All right, great. All right, thanks, guys. All right. So guys, I need you to line up right here once you come right here. All right, so I'm going to get this microphone. I got four guys standing shoulder to shoulder up here, and just got to pass them. Just share your name with everybody.
Mark.
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 Mark. Don't say Mark.
Mark. No, Red.
Ray.
Kevin.
Kevin. All right, Mark, Ray, and Kevin. All right. So, guys, this is four guys. This is four guys going through life together, all right? And the worries and cares of the world, Satan comes along, and he pushes these guys. I don't want to push into that. But he pushes these guys around. No, but even a big guy like this, I can still push him around because he's nice to me too. Yeah, thank you. All right, so now guys, lock arms. So then they start to get to know each other a little bit. Maybe they come and they're a table at the Man in the Mirror Bible study, right? And so over a few weeks, this is what it begins to look like. So now when I come and I try to push on these guys that are holding each other up, now on the ends, I can still push a little bit. He's not gonna let me that time. I can push a little bit, right? So then over time, as they keep meeting together, then they sort of close ranks, right? Oh, that was nice. It's like we rehearsed it, wasn't it? So now look, this is a great group of guys here. So they're all face to face. They're locked arms, facing each other. I'm describing this for the podcast. So we got four guys standing, probably a little more comfortable, a little closer to each other than they're comfortable with. But this is what it looks like once you really get into good relationship. But this is not the last step. The last step is this: guys, drop arms, turn back to back, and lock arms again. So now over time, what happens is this. All right. So I can't get to Mark without going through Ray. Can't get to Kevin without going through the other Mark, right? No matter what direction I come from, I can't get to them. And you know the big deal here is? I can't sneak up on them. I can't get to their back. So how many of you would like to have a brother who's spiritually watching your back for you, right? We all want that. And so this is the beauty of what a small group can be for you. It can be a group of guys linked arm to arm, back to back, protecting each other, walking through life together. Thanks, guys. Give them a hand.
The case.
Check. Let me figure.
All right. So I am super grateful for all of you guys. I'm glad that you're here. I hope that you will take this even to another level of relationship that you have at your tables, that you will become to each other what you need. You'll become defenders to each other, that you will exhort each other, encourage each other, lift each other up, share your burdens, confess your sins. All of these things are good for a man's soul, and there's a unique opportunity to do that in the context of a small group. Let's pray. Well, Father, thank you for these men. Thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you for the men that are listening to this podcast. Lord, I pray that in all of us, Father, you would spark this inner need for fellowship, for community, for connection. Lord, that you would give each of us a group of men to surround ourselves with who love you, who want to be stirred up to the good deeds that you've prepared for us to do, who want to protect each other, hold each other accountable, Lord, who are there with a hug when necessary and a kick and the seat of the pants when necessary as well, Lord. And Father, we know that this is the eternal analogy that we see, that we see you, God, in the Trinity, in relationship. And so, Lord, we want to imitate you by being in relationship here with our brothers as well. So, Father, we pray that you would watch over us. We pray that you would bring change into our lives through relationships so that we can honor you, bring you glory, and build your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can find the Man in the Mirror Bible Study wherever you listen to podcasts, as well as on our YouTube page. If you have found this helpful, please subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and share the podcast with friends. Since 1986, Man in the Mirror has been teaching the Bible, helping us reflect deeply as men and apply God's truth to our lives. This Bible study is recorded in front of a live audience every Friday morning outside of Orlando, Florida. If you need help navigating your life or leading other men, please go to maninthemirror.org and check out our vast library of Bible study videos, blogs, and articles on Christian growth and leadership. There are plenty of resources you can use to grow in your faith and help others grow too. At maninthemirror.org, you will find books written just for men, helpful materials for your church's ministry to men, and even a potential career in men's discipleship. If you're a man personally struggling in life, or you need help in discipling men, please send us an email at biblestudy@maninthemirror.org and let us know how we can help.